Thanks, Chairman. Look, you haven't mentioned Terry McCrann by name, but I think he's the journalist you're referring to who's launched an incredibly savage attack on this board. I must admit, as a journalist myself, I was taken aback at his language. It almost sounded like you guys were the Bali Bombers or something, the way he was talking. You're all a disgrace, you should all be sacked. Now, normally McCrann's a credible guy, and you know, when he says that, you'd sort of stand up and say, well, you know, what's behind this? Now, you seem to have, I sort of felt that two lines of attack he was running was, one, that you didn't disclose the tax ruling in a timely manner. You sat on it over the weekend and went right through Monday. And then two, that you sort of acted in concert with Healthscope to enable them to buy 10% of the stock within minutes of you announcing that the merger was off. Now, you've sort of dealt with the timing issue, but you've just glossed over this whole question of the dealings with Healthscope and how that all worked. Now, wasn't there a standstill agreement in place? And I presume you've had to release Healthscope from that standstill agreement to enable them to buy that 10% stake?
Question?
That's the question, yeah.
Question is... The decision that the board made was that it was important to clarify the status of the merger transaction. Now, the merger transaction actually didn't have, we didn't have authority over whether Healthscope could buy further shares by that stage on the weekend. But broadly, we did take the view that those agreements needed to be terminated, and we needed to be able to say to shareholders before the market opened again that there was no ambiguity about that. We could deal with anybody. And the consequences of actually terminating that was that through other agreements that Healthscope had, as I understand, they were free to buy shares. But as we've said before, Their decision to buy shares and how they bought shares is a matter entirely for Healthscope.
But I'm presuming you must have known. I mean, you've been working together on merging your companies. You've been in bed for many months together. I'm presuming you knew that this was the strategy and that you were complicit in this, that you supported it and were aware of it. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, complicit's a fun word that you might use. In your outlet, it may make sense, but there was speculation in the media that this could be one of the strategies that Healthscope could have pursued. To be fair, the decision by the tax office was not expected, and we had not anticipated getting the ruling that we did, obviously, and therefore there was undoubtedly some quick decisions we have to make, and I guess Healthscope were in the same position as to what they were going to do. So they never informed us as to what their plans were, but we were absolutely aware that it was possible that one of their strategies was that they would take a stake. And our view was that, I mean, there are a number of times they could have taken stake earlier in all of these transactions, but while there was a possibility of having to get a vote through on a scheme of arrangement, it was not in their interest to actually have stake because it would have taken those shares out of the market and out of the leverage that Dr. Bateman had in this transaction. But once it became clear that Plan B was dead, then that clearly freed them up to make the decision that they obviously made.
Now, I'm presuming that Primary is going to vote against the three directors up for election today, which, if effective, would remove more than half the board. Are the Healthscope shares settled and able to be voted today?
I'm not in a position to discuss, I don't believe, what Primary may or may not do in their voting intentions today. But their stake in no way means that the directors will not be reappointed.
No, but it's
not 20% of the shares.
Yeah, that's right. But my question is, are the Healthscope shares settled and able to be voted today?
No.
No. So they're out of the game. So there's only 90% of the... Well, I guess the original... Could the original lot owners of those shares vote them today?
Yes.
Right. Okay. All right. Thank you. Chairman, I'd be interested in seeing the proxies, if you permit, before asking the question, because it partly will relate to when we see what Primary has done with its stake. So I think it is relevant for this debate and with the next resolutions. I mean, they've got 20%. They're obviously hostile. I think it would provide context and not intimidate us to actually see the figures. So with your permitting, that would be great if you could do that.
Well, I'm reluctant to... You moved the proxies last meeting a little ahead of where we were from after the vote, before the vote, and I'd be happy to know that that's where we elected today, so that we were planning to show you the proxies before you voted, but we really felt that to actually do that before the discussion was really seen by every best practice, I think, to be fairly intimidatory of and really lacking respect for the debate. So. I don't know any suggestion that actually says that the proxies should be shown you before you've had a chance to have that discussion. So I think what we'll stick with the plan to show those proxies before you vote, so you will see that information, but at least let's have the discussion first.
Okay, look, my only objection to the whole pay issue with Symbion is that Rob is going to get a big whacking payout to leave us, basically. He was going to get close to $6 million, and we're obviously going to have the write back, the accounting write back as a result. So I just have a bit of a problem with these takeovers where two CEOs and their boards get together to negotiate a takeover, and the one who's going to stop working gets a massive payout. Now, a lot of us would have said we'd prefer to have Rob, who's got a terrific record, continuing to run our assets. And the situation we now have with a moving forward basis is that we're going to save millions of dollars and continue to have his services. So I know the annual report talks about Healthscope requested that the Symbion board approve this massive payout. And I'm just wondering, in terms of remuneration going forward, Rob's a guy who in the press we've read that he made something like $14 million out of the main hospital's private equity play. He's then come back for a second go with some other main assets, and he was going to get $6 million this time. Now he's back with us. Obviously, he'd be pretty upset about that he was about to get a big payout and now is back running the business. How is the board managing his contract given all of that? I mean, have you had to renegotiate? Are you anticipating having to renegotiate a retention payment or some form of adjustment to his contract because the opportunity that did present won't be there? And if we do get taken over by Primary, Rob's going to be millions of dollars worse off than if the Healthscope deal had gone through, because Dr. Ed is not going to give him a cent more than his contract, whereas this board had approved millions of dollars more above his contract. So how have you managed Rob's contract going forward? And yeah, that's the question.
Yeah, it's a fair question. I personally was delighted at the board that Robert Cook agreed to take this on. I have no idea how much money he made at Affinity, I'm happy to say, but certainly he didn't have to do this job, and he chose to do it because he feels very passionately about health and about health companies, and he believed that he could make a real contribution to it. And I think that we have been greatly fortunate for the fact that he has provided that leadership. The view that the board took, and the board, we did say that the request came from Healthscope, but we reviewed it and we thought that given what he had given up to come to us, and given the fact that he had not had the opportunity to build the value in his LTIs and things over the period of time, that the arrangements that we had contemplated were fair and appropriate in all circumstances. And we actually had that tested, and that was the view that we took. One fantastic thing about the CEO, if I could say a very personal remark to him, he is really good at dealing with the personal issues. He's much more interested in his team than himself. Broadly, I have never had any difficulty in doing anything. As he says to me normally, he said, this is the issue, that basically, you know, Chairman, if you think something is fair or not fair, I can leave it to you make a call. And that's been consistently his view all the way along. Now, we have got the challenge of retaining, not, I think, so much now indeed, but retaining all our key staff, the board, and owning a difficult environment, and the board will continue to be. We have actually discussed this many times. The Remuneration Committee has met on a parallel line to the board, I think, so Dr. Blackburn is also in his keep, in actually making sure that in these difficult times that the really key staff members are retained in the business, because you know if there's a period of corporate instability that your competitors look over your senior ranks and part of our job is to make sure that when we look you in the eye and say we have strong businesses and strong managements, that we actually have them continue to be committed. But really, I think given the last 12 months, the commitment of the senior management has been fantastic, and I'm really proud to have been part of it.
I think on this resolution we can't not deal with the change of government on Saturday. I mean, we're in the healthcare sector, we're highly government dependent. Our chairman worked directly for the former Prime Minister, presuming had a good relationship with the former Prime Minister. And now it's a whole new ball game. And so I'm just wondering what that means, firstly in a policy sense, what are the implications for us having a change of government? And then on the whole question of relationships and whether how well equipped Paul is to continue chairing Symbion under a different government with a different philosophy and different relationships. And further to that, I'm interested in the whether it's tenable to continue being the chairman of Medibank Private. And I only sort of heard about this a couple of weeks ago, and how it works being a chairman of a major health provider and also chairman of the government-owned health insurer. I mean, we do revenues of $3.8 billion. I'm presuming a reasonable chunk of that is coming from Medibank Private. So how do you manage that, having the two gigs in the health sector? And I think some of us were in this room last Friday when the PBL did their demerger, and they had similar tax problems and delays, and they seemed to be able to flex their muscles and get over the line with their deal in, you know, some last minute negotiations with Mr. Dutton. Everyone talks about the Packer family's, you know, famous influence over government. We had a similar issue and we fell short, and we had John Howard's former cabinet secretary as our chairman, and wasn't able to, you know, we were told it was going to happen and then we fell short. So I just think, you know, it's a little bit disappointing that was the result. And I think Paul should talk, maybe you as the next most senior director, Ian, should talk a little bit about the changed environment following what happened on Saturday.
Thank you. Thanks for the question. And of course the content of that question is somewhat speculative, because so soon after election that no one knows how public companies and businesses generally is going to work with the government. But of course everybody on the business side and I'm sure on the government side has got the Australian economy and the development of this country and the development of the corporations and businesses in this country as its prime objective. So I think as a principle, I would expect the relationships in this government are going to be like they have been with every government in my experience, that you work with them on the merit of the issues of the day. I don't think personalities of a chairman or a chief executive and a politician have figured strongly in my experience. I know for a fact that Paul has earned the respect of both sides of politics, but quite frankly, I don't think that that is going to get in the way of the substantive issues that we will be discussing with governments. As I say, I believe they will be handled on their merits. And furthermore, we need to realise that it's actually rare for the chairman of a company to negotiate the matters that are the business of the company. That is much more naturally the domain of the chief executive, working with the cabinet minister of the relevant portfolios. And in that regard, Our CEO, Robert Cook, has had a strong relationship with both sides of politics and has had quite a lot of interaction over the past 12 months with people who are interested in the shape and the thrust of health services in Australia. As for Medibank Private, I have seen absolutely no example of a conflict of interest between Paul's roles, and if such a conflict was to emerge, and it is hypothetical, then it would be handled the way conflicts are handled in boards generally around Australia, that is, the board member would stand aside for that particular issue. So, quite frankly, I think Paul's other interests should not have any impact on the vote that is cast today for his re-election as a director, because this vote is about his commitment to shareholder value at Sydney.
I think it's a very important question, because I think quite the opposite. In the last 6 months, advisors in this room have organised one-on-ones with Kevin Rudd, Nicola Roxon a couple of times, met with Julia Gillard several times, several of my executives attended a Labor Party function and Liberal Party contact with the then Health Minister and all the shadow ministers. So we've been very, very active at the general manager and executive level, engaging with both sides of politics. The board gets a report back on those meetings, is aware of the policy decisions, but in interaction has been really supportive. And Paul's his own man, so am I. We get on well, but we've been back on some things. And I've never felt anything but support for him in Symbian, engaging with all sides of politics, because eventually we do have to deal with all sides of politics.
Thanks, Robert.
And Medibank, so I should just to put to bed, of our revenue, probably an end of growth, I would think it would be $3 billion, be roughly $3 or $5 million worth of Medibank Private revenue. The only stream that comes through is diagnostics and a little bit of pathology. We don't even have an agreement with Medibank in pathology, which is a real issue. I wish the chairman of Medibank take notice of it.
Thanks, Robert. I am the hypothesis of electing me and the CFO elected as director of the company. Is there a seconder for this motion? Thank you. Is any shareholder wish to speak for the motion? Yes.
Chairman, when you were reading out all those positions, I presume that Christine was a full-time non-executive director, but how on earth she was juggling a full-time executive job as well as that was obviously explains the reason why she's departing. So I think it's a sad loss for her, for us, given her experience in the industry, and we're down to three effectively long-term committed non-executive directors. I'm just curious as to, it's going to be very tough to find a new non-executive director in this current state of flux. So is the reality really that we're just going to have the three long-term dedicated directors for the next few months until the situation is resolved? And just a final comment on Primary's insistence on having a poll. I think it's fairly redundant decision they've taken there. I mean, the shareholders have very strongly supported all of the directors with more than 94% in favour. And even if Primary voted their 129 million shares against, it still would be a pretty clear, comfortable two-thirds plus majority. So I don't know why Primary has bothered to call a poll, and clearly Primary should heed the message that the directors of this company have actually been very strongly supported by the shareholders today. We just need another couple. So I'm interested in the succession planning issues, and I'm presuming you can't put a health scope or a Primary representative on the board, given they are competitors. So that would be untenable, and so you're going to have to find a genuine outsider to plug the gaps.
Yes, I think that is true. And that's really why Christine has said that she will stay until another director is identified, because in fact, certainly I do as the chairman, that three non-executive directors is not enough. You do need four.
We run the place pretty tightly, and that's why we don't have separate nomination committees and so on, because the board itself does a lot of this work. We try and save money in doing that, and the board works effectively. But Christine isn't going to become a nominal member by any means. She's standing as a full member of the board and fully committed, Christine, I think it's fair to say, to be as active as she has been until we get a good candidate. And obviously, I wouldn't want to be getting a candidate today, right in the middle of a takeover proposal. Anyway, we haven't got a takeover offer yet, but if one comes along, obviously there is a little bit of sorting out to do, but that I think will be sorted out well before Christine leaves us.